Basically, the Hong Kong government is between a rock and a hard place. They cannot back down. It's widely believed that Beijing is now calling the shots.
We visit Hong Kong streets and the ongoing demonstrations. It's Tuesday, August 6th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll also find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Coming up, military exercises begin in Korea. Gambling with crime down under. Walking across the USA for peace. Cleansing trees and the power of the tech mind. It's all on today's VOA Asia. There are several breaking stories as we go on the air today, including North Korea firing a pair of projectiles. We are working to find out what those projectiles were. And the U.S. Treasury Department has designated China as a currency manipulator. This will certainly throw more turmoil into the global financial markets, in addition to what we have already seen today. We start off with a general strike that paralyzed Hong Kong on Monday, preventing people from getting to work and forcing the cancellation of more than 200 flights. Speaking to reporters, the city's embattled leader, Beijing-backed Carrie Lam, said protesters were pushing the city to the verge of an extremely dangerous situation. Lam again rejected repeated calls from protesters for her resignation and said the government is determined to maintain law and order. She also said the government will not satisfy another key demand put forward by protesters to release those who have been arrested during protests of recent weeks. Hong Kong marchers staged sometimes violent protests on multiple fronts late Sunday as demonstrators against a controversial extradition bill entered their ninth consecutive week. Reporter Aaron Hale is in Hong Kong and relayed the day's recent events to VOA's Kate Pound Dawson.
There were protests in seven districts across Hong Kong. They are held in support of a strike that was called today to protest the government. Most of the rallies began peacefully, but most of them are now becoming somewhat violent with clashes between police and protesters. Tear gas has been fired in multiple locations across Hong Kong, and confrontation is ongoing. Police said at 5:30 p.m. that 82 people have been arrested today, which is the largest number of protesters in a single day since protests began on June 9th.
What else has the government said or done?
Carrie Lam called a hasty press conference where she did briefly speak to reporters, and she's pretty much held the same line. She's characterized the protests as largely the work of violent people. She said that they were using this extradition bill to China basically as a pretext to wreak havoc. She sort of echoed somewhat the line of Beijing, which is this is the work of foreign forces, but she didn't come out quite directly and say that. But she did question their motives, and she has continued to hold the line that they simply misunderstand what this law was supposed to be about and that they've smeared the government.
What's expected in the coming days? Will there be more protests this week, or is there any attempt to bring the two sides together to talk and to mediate?
Well, we've seen three straight days of protests in Hong Kong, and I think that we will see them continue later this week. Basically, the Hong Kong government is between a rock and a hard place. They cannot back down. It's widely believed that Beijing is now calling the shots and that Carrie Lam is basically a lame duck. So there is really no one to negotiate with. It would look very bad for Beijing if they were to show that they will respond to mass protests. It's uncertain what would actually happen in mainland China if that were to be the case. Protesters, however, are as determined as ever. I think they view this as sort of the last fight to save Hong Kong. This weekend, I spoke to dozens of people, and they all said the same thing, that protests will continue until their demands are met. But Carrie Lam has pretty much said that's not going to happen. The protests have actually started to change tactics, which are making it much harder for, I think, the media to keep track of, because their new tactic is they sort of flare up in one location. They build a bunch of barricades to keep the police out. And then most of the people will run into the subway system or sort of disappear into the side streets, and then they turn up somewhere else. And this is being directed over Telegram.
Particularly if it ever does slow down.
VOA's Kate Pound-Dawson speaking with reporter Aaron Hale in Hong Kong. The Chinese-controlled financial hub is facing its worst political crisis since its handover to China in 1997, which began with protests against an extradition bill already suspended that would have allowed people to be sent to mainland China for trial and have since evolved into calls for greater democracy. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit our website. That's voanews.com. China's yuan drops to new lows after Trump's tariff threat. Moon calls for peace economy with North Korea slams Japan. U.S. and South Korea prepare military drills despite North's ire. Three reasons China cut permits for tourists going to Taiwan. Japan's NEC shows a flying car hovering steadily for a minute. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit our Facebook page. That's VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Annual military exercises involving the United States and South Korea are underway despite warnings from Pyongyang that the war games will impede nuclear negotiations between the United States and North Korea. Pyongyang conducted two missile tests recently ahead of the exercises and apparently another one a short time ago. President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un pledged to work toward denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula last year at an historic meeting in Singapore. But their second meeting in February broke up over what North Korea might have given up in exchange for sanctions relief. Although Trump and Kim agreed to revive talks, they did that during an impromptu meeting at the demilitarized zone in June. No formal talks have been announced. VOA Seoul correspondent Bill Gallo discusses the current military exercises with VOA's Kate Pound-Dawson.
Well, these are about as quiet of joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises as you could ever expect. There was no formal announcement today on the U.S. side. South Korea's defense minister told Parliament, in fact, that these military exercises began today. But other than that, you would hardly know that they happened. These are lasting for around half a month, and they will at least start with computer-simulated exercise. So not really some of the big flashes and bangs and bombs being dropped and things like that. This is very low-key, scaled-back exercises, but it's meant to sort of simulate the retaking of wartime operational control of South Korea from the United States.
How has North Korea been talking about these exercises? What have they been doing? How are they reacting?
Well, for several weeks now, they've been complaining about these upcoming exercises, saying that if they go ahead, if the U.S. and South Korea go ahead with these exercises, they not only will continue to test short-range missiles, but they hinted that possibly they could resume nuclear and ICBM tests. Now, it's not clear we're anywhere near that point right now. North Korea has tested several short-range ballistic missiles. These go from anywhere from about 150 kilometers to 600 kilometers, so definitely on the short-range side of things. But they are ballistic missiles, and they're getting a bit more complicated. And you know, there's this sense that North Korea is sort of inching its way, slowly ramping up the provocations as it sees the U.S. and South Korea undertake these military exercises.
The new U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mr. Esper, is in the region and will be visiting Seoul in the coming days. Is there any indication he's working or will be working with the South Korean government on moving forward talks with North Korea on denuclearization?
He'll come here and presumably try to get things started. It's not really clear that the North Korean talks can be moved forward without the participation of North Korea, to be honest. North Korea has not given any sign that it wants to engage in working-level talks, and presumably it would not do so during the present U.S.-South Korea military drill.
VOA Seoul correspondent Bill Gallo. Happening now in Asia, Seoul's military says South Korea and the United States are preparing to hold their annual joint military exercises despite warnings from North Korea that the drills could derail fragile nuclear diplomacy. North Korea recently has been ramping up its weapons test, including recent test firings. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us this morning on VOA Asia. A television documentary has made allegations linking Australia's gambling giant Crown Casino with organized crime, money laundering, and human trafficking. Phil Mercer in Sydney tells us the company has taken out newspaper ads denying the allegations.
The investigation into Crown Casino was carried out by Australia's Channel 9 television network and two newspapers, the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. The story was based on tens of thousands of documents, apparently leaked from the company, that owns casinos in the cities of Melbourne and Perth and is planning another in Sydney. The documentary alleged links between Crown and organised crime and claims the company turned a blind eye to money laundering and exploited weaknesses in Australia's immigration processes to fly wealthy Chinese gamblers into the country without proper checks. There are also claims it had business links with an Australian brothel that's been investigated over human trafficking. Independent MP Andrew Wilkie told the Australian Parliament, Crown has operated above the law in the state of Victoria.
I now know of three police officers, two currently serving, who have openly said to my staff that in Victoria, Crown is regarded as the Vatican, an independent sovereign state all to its own where the laws of Victoria and the laws of the Commonwealth do not apply.
Wilkie has failed in his bid to have the claims investigated by the Australian Parliament. But Federal Attorney General Christian Porter has referred the allegations to the Australian Commission for Law Enforcement Integrity. It can only investigate the behaviour of federal law enforcement officials and not Crown employees. The state of Victoria has ordered the state's gambling office to examine the claims against Crown Casino as a matter of priority. Experts have also demanded Australia's anti-money laundering regulator AUSTRAC to probe claims that criminals have passed money through Crown Casino. The company has strongly denied the allegations. In a series of newspaper advertisements, the company said it wanted to set the record straight in the face of a deceitful campaign against Crown. Crown Casino accused the TV documentary of unfairly attempting to damage its reputation. It also said it takes its regulatory obligations very seriously. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Coming up, walking coast to coast. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news from VOA Asia, a United Nations fact-finding mission has called for an embargo on arms sales to Myanmar and for targeted sanctions on businesses with connections to the military. After finding their funding human rights abuses, the mission report details how businesses run by Myanmar's army are engaged in such violations. You can find more when you visit VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, from coast to coast, the United States measures about 4,800 kilometers. For many visitors, a cross-country trip is something of a rite of passage. Here's the story of one man who decided to make the trip for a different reason in a unique way. VOA Thai reporters tell his story.
This Buddhist monk from Thailand is on a mission. He spent the past 4 months making his way across America on foot in a campaign to promote peace.
A pilgrimage walk is my preferred way of meditating. If I take my pilgrimage walk to promote peace, it will benefit even more people. At the same time, It will take me to places where people don't usually see a monk. That's also an opportunity to spread awareness of Buddhism.
Prasutam Natitong chose monkhood as a path to peace and enlightenment. After a long political career in Thailand left him unfulfilled, deciding to walk across America was just the next step in his spiritual journey. He began in March from Santa Monica, California, and chose to travel along historic Route 66, an iconic road that cuts across 8 states. Word of his walk attracted attention from Americans, many of whom had never met a Buddhist monk before, like Spencer Johansson, mayor of Lexington, Illinois.
Usually we get the travelers that they're traveling the historic Route 66, and I don't recall anybody that inspired me as much as his visit has. I researched how do you greet a monk, because I've never met one before, and I was concerned about that, you know, and when he first approached me, he gave me a hug, and I thought, man, this is easy.
Karen Wingo, owner of a thrift shop in Lexington, said she closed her store early so she could walk and have a conversation with Prasutam.
What I did ask is I wanted to know how he was doing a walk for peace. How do you promote that? And then he said, if you're happy inside, then you just, people can feel your peace.
Walking for peace doesn't require much. I focus on sharing with people a sense of peace, showing them kindness, and I think that they can feel it because our minds can touch.
Christian Kobo and Carissa Gunty, an American couple in Dwight, Illinois, invited Prasutam to spend a night in their home. They learned from the Thai monk how to meditate and more.
There's so much more that we can be as humans and to each other, and he represents that. And it's great. I mean, I hope that that's the message that other people receive from him when they have the chance to meet him, if they take the chance to meet him.
The fact that he even bothered to do this through the United States, that means he cares about us too. I think that shows me that people from other cultures care about one another.
Prasutam reached his destination in New York City in late June. He's already planning his next campaign. Later this year, he will walk from Thailand to France, his longest distance yet, at about 15,000 kilometers, promoting peace, one step at a time. Warangkana Chomchun, VOA News.
This news break from VOA Asia. Global markets plunged Monday amid a fresh round of trade tariffs between the United States and China. China's yuan currency dropped to its lowest level in 11 years. Observers expect the drop will fuel tensions with Washington while signaling the possibility of a currency war. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, another scientific study has confirmed that trees can have a far-reaching effect in stemming global warming by removing large amounts of carbon from the atmosphere. Tree planting advocates say this is something they've known for decades, and the world is finally getting the message. Mike O'Sullivan has more from Los Angeles.
Volunteers with the group Tree People are planting trees and other plants at this national forest near Los Angeles. These native species have been crowded out by invasive mustard and thistles.
So we've been planting about 40 different species. Some of them are grasses, some of them are what you would call shrubs, some of them are trees, oaks, elderberries.
All native to this ecosystem. Trees are a crucial component.
Because we know trees have multiple benefits. Trees will shade humans, the environment, as we see increases and dramatic increases in extreme heat. Trees help retain water in situations where there's flooding or we're trying to prevent water runoff.
And trees can capture huge amounts of carbon, reducing global warming. It has been confirmed in study after study, including one by European researchers recently published in the journal Science. Planting trees also counteracts deforestation. Forest restoration projects are underway in countries such as Indonesia, says a San Francisco-based researcher with the World Wildlife Fund.
In a project called 30 Hills, where They're taking a comprehensive approach, not just to carbon benefits, but all the co-benefits that come from forests and from restoration, including poverty alleviation.
In one case, creating a habitat for bees and a honey-making business for local villagers. The recent study says new forests could capture two-thirds of the extra carbon that has entered the atmosphere from human activity. But it's not the only answer.
It's one of the pieces, and another huge piece of it is reducing our energy and industry emissions. We really need both things.
As the climate warms, healthy forests are more resistant to fire and provide shelter from the sun for animals and humans, while governments can help. Here in California, individuals and local communities are also doing their part.
Take personal responsibility, help plant trees. It's fun. It makes our communities greener, more climate resilient, more sustainable.
Won't make a hole in the ground.
Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Faith Lapidus joins us with technology that taps into the power of the mind, helping quadriplegics and amputees regain some of what they've lost.
Kevin Walgamott has a prosthetic arm that looks like something out of a Star Wars movie. That's because the Luke arm was inspired by Luke Skywalker's robotic arm from the film The Empire Strikes Back. Walgamott lost his left hand and part of his arm in an electrical accident 17 years ago. He's one of seven amputees at the University of Utah testing the Luke arm, which allows people to use their minds to perform delicate tasks, such as picking up and putting down an egg. The Luke arm has been in development for 15 years. The latest refinement connects it to the nerves in the wearer's forearm, which relay information to their brain so they can feel objects. That allows them to know how hard to grip something, whether they're plucking grapes or shaking their wife's hand. Scientists at ETH Zurich in Switzerland have developed a system which allows people with severely impaired motor functions to control video games just by thinking.
I'm trying to move my hand, my fingers, in my mind, so I have to be very concentrated.
Samuel Kunz, who was paralyzed after an accident, is taking part in a trial of the brain-computer interface to pilot a digital race car.
The connection between my fingers and my brain is not there anymore. I still try to move my fingers in my head, and so that needs a lot of concentration to do it exactly the same way every time.
Imagining moving his left hand makes the car turn left. Thinking about moving his right hand turns the car right. And thinking about moving both together makes it go straight. A fourth command, fully relaxing and clearing his mind, slows the car down. Those signals are transmitted to a computer via electrodes placed on his head.
What we actually need for a brain computer face is an amplifier, a cap with electrodes which actually measure SEMIs or our pilot's brain signals. The brain signal is a very, very small signal, and muscle activity is a very, very strong signal. So we need to make sure that we filter out any muscle activity, that what we have left is the pure brain signal.
Kunz is practicing his mind control of the game so he can take part in a special championship next year called Cybathlon, in which people with physical disabilities compete against each other using state-of-the-art technology. The inaugural competition was held in Zurich in 2016. The technology's biggest challenge is decoding complex brain signals using non-invasive sensors. So the next generation will probably involve sensors and electrodes implanted directly into the brain. The ultimate aim of the research is to allow those with limited movement to control devices such as wheelchairs with the power of their mind. Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find our program online, iTunes and SoundCloud, of course, on VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. We thank you for joining us, and we thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Chang, managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.